Hello, I'm Veronica Skersbrick. Thanks for joining me. As talks in the Danish capital of Copenhagen continue and delegates from 192 countries discuss matters pertaining to climate change, the Vicar General of the Congregation of Jesus, Sister Frances Orchard, who's currently attending the summit, rather fittingly, as part of a delegation of Franciscans International, takes the time to answer a few of my questions. First of all, can you explain what your role is at the Copenhagen Summit as a representative of the Catholic Church?
No, not at all. I have what's called observer status, not representing any nation or particular group. This is a status given to those who belong to NGOs. A group of us religious in Rome who wanted to attend the conference persuaded one of the religious NGOs to register us, otherwise we would not be able to be here. So as a group, we're not actually representing either the NGO under whose umbrella we are registered, nor any of the groups of religious currently existing in Rome, because we don't have that official status.
Do you work together with other churches?
I have been attending other interreligious denominational groups for various alternative activities that are going on here in Copenhagen, all linked to COP15, but not an official part of COP15.
Do you think your presence there is important as a member of the Catholic Church?
Yes, I do think it's important. The conference lasts for a fortnight. Each day we're meeting up with more like-minded people. I also think that there is an important learning process going on here. I'm certainly finding every day I'm here, I am learning things that were any sort of vague things that I had picked up from the media previously. But when you meet and you talk to people, and you certainly when you listen to the urgency of some of the representatives from third world countries, it gets real. One thing I'll add to that, somebody said to us yesterday, those of us who are NGOs and new to this process, it's your first COP. You are bewildered. So much is happening. Your second COP, you begin to understand, and your third COP, you begin to contribute. And I think I would agree with that.
Well, despite, in your words, your bewilderment, what are your impressions of the summit so far? It seems from the outside that there's a bit of a tug of war with divisions in thinking between industrialized and developing nations. Do you get that feeling at all?
Yes, very much so. It came up on the very first morning when I was able to attend the plenary session, and the first interventions from the floor came on the whole from what are being described as the least developed nations. I mean, they really are suffering from desertification or from rising sea levels that threaten their very existence, or countries, say, that depend upon the waters of the Himalayas, what they call their water towers right up there in the heavens that are becoming depleted and which will soon cease to function. So there's a sense of very real urgency. These least developed nations, what they want is what was put on the table a couple of years ago at the Bali conference, being referred to as the Bali Road Plan. And that is that they are given help in adaptation of their whole technological infrastructure to be able to cope with the threats that are very immediate to them, that the finance is on the table, and they look to the developed world to produce that for them. France, for example, yesterday made a helpful proposal to work towards the creation of a climate justice fund, which they're talking of $600 billion. It's getting somewhere near the amount of money that needs to be on the table before there will be any real consensus as to what the process has to be to solve these difficulties.
On the eve of the summit, Pope Benedict XVI said protection of the environment requires, he didn't say it needed more financial help, but more sober lifestyles and a rediscovery of the moral dimension of development. Has there been any talk of this at all?
There has certainly been talk at some of the alternative activities that I have been to. For example, yesterday I went to an interdenominational event entitled Addressing Climate Change by Awakening Us to Oneness. And this was looking at how our religious traditions have maybe helped us be in the position that we are today, whereby we tend to have a culture of domination of the earth as we know it, rather than one of collaboration and sharing and working very much at local level. But I would agree entirely with what Pope Benedict has been saying. And this is the great contribution that people with a spiritual background can make. A change in thinking has to start with each one of us.
What has struck you most about the summit so far? I mean, you talked about bewilderment, but presumably there are things that struck you most, even though it's your first summit of this sort.
There is a very, very real sense of urgency everywhere. Everybody, politicians, NGOs, religious, non-religious, are all aware that we are at the tipping point. We may even have passed the tipping point, and therefore the need to decrease carbon emissions is absolutely critical. And there just isn't the time to waste, as maybe has been wasted over the past 20 years, with this failure to collaborate in facing up to the very real threat that is going to affect all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're from a developed country or a least developed country, as somebody has said. You know, climate change knows no frontiers.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
There's a real leadership issue here. I've seen people walking around with lanyards that are not the official lanyards with their name tags attached, simply saying, lead or go home.
That's pretty strong.
It is pretty strong. But that is, I think, what people are feeling, this sense of urgency, that time has run out. If COP15 can't produce some sort of an agreement at the end, be able to make a real difference, to reverse this intense carbonisation of the world, then we are all going to suffer. The planet simply cannot sustain the present emission levels. Everything begins to fold up, whether it is acidification of the oceans or water depletion because the glaciers are melting or increasing deserts. It's not sustainable, and this, of course, affects humanity. I think I'd just like to add, as somebody has said, the planet will continue to exist. Whether there is human life on it in a way that, if you like, God intended human life to be, where people could live at peace, in happiness, and with food and water and a means of livelihood, that is what is, if you like, the big issue for the future. You can probably hear I'm very much picking up this sense of urgency around us.
That was the Vicar General of the Congregation of Jesus, Sister Frances Orchard, speaking to us from Copenhagen. A big thank you to her. Well, thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.